Life hits hard, yet faith stands strong. Life hits hard, yet faith stands strong. With Allah beside us, we move along. Overcoming life.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah.
As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "The person in whose presence my name is mentioned and he does not recite salat upon me is the stingiest of all people." Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madri channel, welcome to our series Overcoming Life. And the hadith that I've just mentioned, "The person in whose presence my name is mentioned and he does not recite salat upon me is the stingiest of all people." This hadith is a very strong hadith, a very powerful hadith, because this is something that is becoming more and more common in today's society. We hear the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we forget to recite salutations upon him. Sometimes it's not that we forget, sometimes it's that we just don't do it as well. And that brings us to today's topic, because this person has been described as the stingiest of all people. And that brings us to today's topic, I can't be bothered. We've got Abdul Hanan Bhai with us. And Abdul Hanan Bhai, you know, this is just one of the hadiths that I mentioned. There's many more that talk about the loss of someone who forgets or doesn't recite salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when they hear his name. And we've got this culture of I can't be bothered. Why do you think this is happening and what are some of the harms of this?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, first of all, it's important to understand the fact that when it comes to the matters of the deen, we should not be in such a position that we are not bothered, because deen is everything of us. It's our life, it's our it's what we will through this deen we will gain the afterlife inshallah and Jannah, paradise. So we should not be saying that we're not bothered to do this thing, or sometimes we are not saying it but our actions are showing it. We are not just bothered. It's same when you look at prayers, reading salah, we're not saying that we're not bothered about reading namaz, but our actions are saying this, that we are not bothered, right? Someone cannot make time for namaz. In the same way, Quran, right? We have time for everything else, but we don't have time to recite in the Quran. If you look at the other ibadahs, it's the same in even serving your parents. We don't say that we are not bothered about what's going to happen to our parents, but our actions are showing it. Because we are not there, we are not there to give them time, we are not there to help them, we are not there to support them. So all this is indirectly it's saying that we are not bothered. And the one who's not going to be bothered in the actions of the matters of the deen, he will find a great loss. And we should keep this in mind, and the importance of every ibadat, every worship, every good action, it holds value. So when we are not bothered in the matters of the deen, this is meaning that we are not bothered what's going to happen to us in the grave, what's going to happen to us on Yawm al-Qiyamah, what will be happen to us, how we will get our book of deeds. Is it going to be in our right hand? This is indirectly saying that we're not bothered which hand we get the book of deeds in, right? Where we will end up in. Is it going to be Jannat or Jahannam? May Allah protect us from the fire of hell. But this attitude of not being bothered, it's something which is a great loss and something which we need to be working on. And you know, here we are talking about the matters of the deen. People are not just generally not bothered about anything in life now. I spoke to a brother. I asked him, what you do? He says, nothing. He says, no job? He says, no, brother. I said, well, how come? He says, can't find a job. And the next question is going to make you laugh. I asked him, okay, you can't find a job. What have you done? What efforts have you made to find a job? And the brother says, nothing. Right? And I said to myself, you know, the job's not going to come knocking on your door, right? Someone's not going to come knocking on your door, I've got a job for you, brother. It needs involvement. It needs your efforts. You can't just not be bothered and think everything will run. And you know, the worst thing was, regarding this brother, I find out afterwards what happened with him. His family broke up, family ties broke up, you know. He lost out on a lot of things. And I could see where he was coming from. He was coming from this attitude of not being bothered. If a son is not providing for his family, you know, his parents, helping his parents, in the same way, if the father is not providing for his child, right, or his family members at home, think about it, what will happen? Things will turn upside down. It'll break things up. In the same way, in what happened with his life as well. And, you know, may Allah take him out of this difficulty. But it's just this thought. Someone's not bothered about earning, working, a livelihood. How is he going to support his family? Now, it's not just going to happen. And I've been to them parts of the world where people are making a huge amount of effort just to get a little income. And some parts of the world, it's very easy for us to earn. And still a person's not bothered. This is actually dangerous. Not just to a person's religious life, but his general life, his family, his surroundings, it's a dangerous for him. So a person, we need to have this concern. Concern how we are living our lives, and then how we are living our lives according to the deen.
Since we're talking about things, that not being bothered about things, what are some of the main things that youth or youngsters today, nowadays, are not bothered about?
There's a huge amount of things. I think some of the things I've already touched upon lightly is about ibadah, worship. Those things which are compulsory upon us. Those things which we have to do no matter what. There's no escape from it. Because keep in mind, in the matters of deen, we as believers, we have to act upon ibadah, and those ibadah which is farz upon us, compulsory upon us, like salah, like fasting, like giving zakat, like performing hajj. So these are ibadah which we should be bothered about. There should be a concern. If they are not being fulfilled, why are they not being fulfilled? You know, if someone doesn't get up for fajr, it should be concerning him. Why didn't I get up? Right? Doesn't matter. Fajr is good. You know, so you get people like this and they're laughing about it. They're sharing amongst their friends today and they say, look, oh, I didn't get up for fajr today. They've got a smile on their face, right? And it's like nothing's happened. It's the same with every action of ours, whether you look at what we speak. People are not bothered about what they speak, how they talk. You know, you say to someone when someone's backbiting regarding someone, you say to him, brother, this is backbiting. What does he say? What is his answer? His answer is, well, that's true, right? So in actual fact, he's telling you he's not bothered about that he's doing something wrong. In the same way you look at every action of your life, the sins which we are committing today, person is not bothered about protecting his eyes, he's not bothered about protecting his ears, his own health, right? People are not bothered about their own health. What? This is why you find that we are eating whatever comes, whatever's on the table, let's say we'll eat. People are not bothered about halal and haram, right? What is halal, what is haram? We should have this concern. I can't earn a penny of haram earning. Right, that should be in our mind. And you know, this is why you find someone's at work and you know, his job is whatever shift or the time he's doing is 8 hours, 6 hours, whatever he's doing. He's been paid to do a certain job. If someone sits aside for 5 minutes without the owner's permission, without able to have permission to able to sit aside for 5 minutes, then that 5 minutes of his earning is haram. Or someone is standing at a machine, is chatting away where he should be operating a machine. He's speaking to someone else without the permission of the owner. He's earning that couple of minutes which he's speaking is haram. So this is, a person needs to be bothered. Where his income is coming from, what is halal, what is haram, what is right, what is wrong. Some people are not bothered about the upbringing of the children. Some people are not bothered about the rights of others. Right. Inshallah, we'll touch upon these things. These are things which we need to be bothered about, because simply we will be taken into account on Yawm al-Qiyamah.
And you know, on an earlier episode, you mentioned a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, take advantage of 5 things before others. Those are a few other things that youth, and not just youth, the public in general is not bothered about anymore. Mm-hmm.
We're not bothered about our youth. It's like time is passing so quick, right? And you know, we think, okay, this is the time to enjoy. But the youth is not just about enjoyment. It's about in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. And the youth is not, you know, we're not forgiven for leaving the ibadat, the faraiz. We need to be still fulfilling them, even in our youth. This is not just something for an elderly person, right? It's for all of us. So in the same way with our wealth, some people are not bothered where the wealth is going. Do we spend in the way of Allah? Yet we spend on anything and everything, right? What we are buying, I was speaking to a brother a couple of days ago, and I said, look, you know, to manage your own house, you need to be having control on what you're buying. Is that the item which you're purchasing, is there a need for this? If there's no need for this item, why did you buy it? You know, today people see on the net and everyone's on their phone today and they're doing online shopping. Like, you order so many things and then it's lying somewhere in your house and it's no value to you. It's not beneficial to you. It's just there, right? What benefit is that thing which you've ordered and just to be lying around? No use of it. It's like your clothes, your shoes, your jackets. Some people just order it, oh, it looks nice. And then only wear it once in a year, right? You order some trainers, you order some shoes, and okay, I'll wear them sometime when you feel like it. And they're just lying there. Why? They survive on the one pair. And I was explaining him, because of this attitude of ours, this behavior of ours, we find ourselves in a lot of deep trouble. And especially in the time which we are in, where it's hard to make ends meet, where it's hard to cover everything. We should be bothering what we are purchasing. But is this thing a need? For example, this tablet. Is it really a need for me to buy this tablet, or do I need a big one like yours? So, you know, some people, they just go for the high-end thing. they probably struggle to use something. I wouldn't be able to use something that big. They just stick to a normal thing. It's like the same with the phone. We want the high-end, or the latest phone. Yeah, you can get away with a 2-3 years old phone. You can get by. And you're paying half of the price. Why not? Mm. Right? So these things, they actually leading us into a lot of hardship, a lot of trouble, a lot of difficulties. Because we overburden ourselves. We are not bothered on what we are buying, what we are keeping, what we are having, what we are eating. Literally, we are not bothered about anything. And because of this, you know, it's like the example I will give is like, would it be the case that if you are driving on the motorway, your red light's on for fuel. Right? Fuel's finishing. And is your attitude going to say, it doesn't matter. I'll get there. What will happen? You'll end up breaking down. You'll end up running out of fuel. You won't get you to your destination. Just over this little attitude, don't worry, I'll survive. The best option is the sensible option will be, if you stop, okay, on the motorway, it might cost you a bit more to fuel up. But just fuel up just to be that safe side, right? And you know, some people are not even bothered on little things like this. And what will lead you 4 or 5 hours being stuck on the motorway, broke down. Maybe if you fuel also, all of a sudden your car goes off, there's a chance of you having an accident, a chance of other things happening, lost. All this just for a person who's not bothered just filling up. Always, right? Might take you extra 5 minutes. You should have filled up before you going on the motorway. So generally in our lives, we become bothered in so many, not just bothered in so many things, and we are finding ourselves in difficulty because of this.
You know, earlier you was mentioning that namaz becomes fard even in youth. And I started to do a calculation because I wanted to put it into perspective for the viewers that you met, of course, if we just take into account the 5 fard prayers plus the 3 witrs, and we add the rakats of that. That's about 20 rakats a day. Now, if someone in their youth are missing their salah, a whole year they've missed their salah, that's 7,280 rakats to catch up on.
You put it in the salah aspect of it. You put it in the aspect of money.
Mm.
If every day for missing every salah, you have to pay up, right? That means you owe someone. How hard it becomes to pay off that much amount. Right? That's when you realize. I think... sometimes we have to use these examples so for people to understand that to pay up is not easy. So why not do it today? You're going to eventually do it. And everyone, alhamdulillah, as a believer, you eventually get to the stage in life where you think, yes, I need to start praying. And you start praying and you start doing good. Eventually people get there. It doesn't happen with all. Not all everyone is fortunate. But most cases, people eventually get to the stage of ibadah. So eventually you're going to do it. Why not do it today? Why not save yourself from all that burden of extra salah which you have to perform? And then you have to do qaza-i umri, the whole qaza of the whole life. Yeah. You know, if someone's 20 years prayer has gone like this, 20 years of prayer he's got to catch up on. Right? So he's making himself harder for himself. When is a whole day's prayer won't even take you more than an hour. An hour to save yourself from hours and hours of prayers, right? A lifetime of prayers. It's an easy option. So one needs to be bothered. In the form of ibadah. And it's same with your health. You know, some people are today are not bothered with health. What happens to them? Overweight. Do not look what they're eating. People are just throwing everything down. Right? And not just everything down. There's a matter of halal and haram in this as well. I remember I asked a scholar, a great chef, regarding this matter. I said, we start to do ibadat. We become, when you turn towards ibadat and towards goodness, you live your whole life. You have the passion of deen. You want to do something. You want to, you're crying. There's a fear of Allah. There's, if a prayer is to be missed, what state you become in? I miss my namaz. You go into, and then with time, as time passes, you find some people, with time passing, this feeling changes. They lose that touch of ibadat. They lose that touch of fear of Allah. They lose that touch of, being involved in the deen in that way. They become lazy. They become not bothered. So I asked the Shaykh, I said, why is this? And he replied, he says, it's all to do with what you take in, what you consume, what you eat. So what he was referring to was halal and haram. If haram is going into your stomach, it will make you lazy in your worship. It will take away the fear of Allah from your heart. Because haram is affecting you. Right? Even to the extent if something is haram and you don't know it, you go, it will still affect your body. Haram is haram. So it's going to affect your body. So in this way, when haram is, and those people who are eating haram, right, people are not bothered on looking at just the what's in the ingredients in this, what I'm eating, the chocolate, the crisp, or whatever. They're not bothered to look at it. So that haram is going into their bodies. It's going to affect them, isn't it? So, and this is just, and then there's the matters of, the earnings of a person. People are not bothered about finding if my earning is right or not. Someone is doing a job, and he doesn't know that, is it permissible for me to do this job in this way or not? And I'll tell you, because there's restrictions of Sharia, aren't there? What you can earn and how you can earn, and even like a partnership, a business partner, he needs to know that what is the right way of business. I'm a partner with another person. How can I earn? What percentage do I get and what percentage? It's not 50-50. It depends on the conditions of who's put the money down and what all the other conditions are. So people are working, they're earning, they're doing business for many years. They won't bother to go to a mufti. And alhamdulillah, the blessing of Dawat Islami, we have Darul Ifta. And we have the ulama-i karam who are there. You can take your matters to them. You can discuss that I'm earning like this. Is this my earning halal or haram? Just get it checked. Right? It's simple as this. Just get it checked once that my earning, this way of me earning this business, is it halal or haram? Inshallah, be clear. Mm. But some people are not even bothered with these matters. And then they spend their whole lives thinking they've been earning halal. And all their lives they're haram. And then they're feeding the children in this way. And today, how much haram is going inside our body? Mm. We're not bothered. I mean, this haram is going in the bodies of our children. And what their state's going to be.
So do you think this, I can't be bothered, what's the reason behind it? Is it actually laziness, or is it something deeper, much deeper than laziness? Is it negligence?
It is indeed negligence that leads a person to this state, that he's not bothered, he's lost. Although, if you look at these same people who have said, and it seems like they're not bothered, it's a lot of times they're not bothered on the matters of the deed. The matters of dunya, yes, they're done, You have to catch a flight, 5 o'clock in the morning, you're there. Right? You have to go to work, 6 o'clock in the morning, you're there. Right? You make sure you're on time. You're not late even. And then, Jamaat is happening and you say, oh, chalo, I'll get there, I'll get the second rakat, I'll get the third rakat, and you end up missing it. This is showing our state of negligence, isn't it? That we know, but in the matters of world, someone has a little headache. Right? He doesn't come to the masjid to read namaz. And you find people that when people are traveling, in the environment of Dawat Islami, we have the kafilas, the brothers are traveling in the way of Allah. So many brothers give their names to travel. But when it comes to the actual day of traveling, half of them have dropped out. Why? Because a lot of the times you'll find is that something has come in their way which has stopped them. Maybe a little bit of flu, a little bit of headache, a little bit of illness. That stops them. But if you look at that same headache didn't stop them from going for work in that morning. That same headache, that same flu didn't stop them from going and working in a hard place, traveling to earn worldly wealth. It didn't stop them. Because I know, I've been to that stage, no matter, even you're earning and you have to pay your bills, What happens is, you have a flu, you have a headache, you still go and work. Right? You still be there. Why? Because you know this, you'll get something in return. Here, we forget that we will get something in return in the afterlife. And we don't consider this to be important, we leave it. So, it's important to realize the importance of the deen and our ibadat, our worship, our goodness. And we should be bothered because every moment, it says on Yawm al-Qiyamah, everyone will regret for how they spend their time in the world. The sinful will obviously regret. They've committed sin, they've committed crime, they've done something wrong. But the pious people, how would they regret? The pious people, the people who spend their time in ibadah, they would regret. And the fact that I wish that I've, this time which I spent doing nothing, I would have done something good in that time.
Allah.
I would have spent that little moment doing something good. So think about it, how many moments of our lives are passing. We have done no good. No good action, no reflection, no good deeds. So you're just sitting there. Today we sit on our settees and just blank mind, nothing, doing nothing. Right? Just get a tasbih in your hand in that time. Just do the zikr of Allah. Why not?
Mm.
And the pious people, they would do this. You know, to the extent that if they stop doing something, one good action, they'll just continue with another good action because your tongue can always do zikr. Other ibadats might be movements or doing something, learning the knowledge of deen. But that ibadat, if that stops, you can still continue with the zikr of Allah on your tongue.
Allah. So it's the fact that maybe it's the way that the people's priorities have changed. Because like you mentioned, if it came to catching a fly, or if it was an important interview, they would get up. They would do this. They wouldn't say, I can't be bothered. But when it comes to matters of the deen, or when it comes to something that will benefit our akhirah, the mindset is completely different. It just shows where the priorities are, isn't it?
Once you prioritize, you know, like, it's simple as this. The common thing which we say is that when I will get time, I'll come and join you. You know, you invite someone to the gatherings of Dawat Islami every Thursday, the ijtimas, the gatherings of Dawat Islami take place throughout the world. Or you invite someone in the way of Allah to travel. And what happens is, the answer, when you invite someone, the first thing they say, inshallah, brother, when I get time, I'll come and join you. This sentence of his saying, when I will get time, I will join you, this is showing his priorities. I always say to people, I said, does anyone say to, regarding work, I'll get time, I'll come into work? No. Priority is there. No matter what, you'll be in work. Right? I'll get time, I'll go and open my shop. Right? Why do we say, when I get time, I will come and join you in your gathering? I will come and travel with you. Because the priority of deen is probably at the bottom of the list. Our first priority is earning wealth. It's probably such a priority which is beyond our own family. Right? People leave their families. You know, you get people traveling from different parts of the world. The parents are in Pakistan, in India, in Bangladesh, in Africa, whatever. And people are traveling to different parts of the world. They left their family, they left their children, they left their homeland. They left everything. What for? Wealth. So what shows here is the priority is money. It's not family. Otherwise, they could have earned that in their home country. But no, they want to earn. They want to make money quick. They want to earn a huge amount. So they're leaving the land, they're leaving the country. So the priority of wealth is probably the priority of the dunya, the luxuries of life is more than your own blood, your own relatives, your own family, your own parents, your own children. To the extent I was in one country in Greece, there were brothers there who had not seen their parents for the last 15 years. When one brother, he was there for 19 years, he goes, in that time, so many of his relatives passed away, his father passed away, but he couldn't go back. Why? Because he was waiting for the visa there. He's waiting for that, so he could stay there, he could be a resident there. He was waiting for the visa of the country, so he could earn. There was one brother I met, he goes, his son was, he hasn't seen his son since birth. Meaning when he left, his wife was expecting. And his child is 17, 18 years old now. And he goes, he hasn't seen his child in real life. Meaning he's seen, obviously, doing video calling and phone call, etc. But 16, 17 years, he has not seen his child. Why? All for wealth. You are bothered with the wealth, but you forget your children, you forget your family, you forget your deen, you forget your health. Yeah, it's true, Andy, because you're working that much, you're putting that much hours, you're not caring about what your health is. Although Islam tells you a balance. You know, some people are doing night shifts and hours, 12-hour shift, when you know, you're not bothered about your health.
And when, do you know the same people that you said, they they work so much they don't even have time for their children. But then when you ask them, why are you working so much? They would say that they're doing it for the children. They would say that they're doing it for the children. But in reality, then they're not doing it for the children. They're doing it for the wealth. Because if they really, truly were doing something for the kids, they would spend time with them. Because that's the main thing.
That's the most important thing here. The time which they give to children, the time which you give to the parents. You know, sometimes we say that you might give money to your parents. And you think you fulfill the right. It's not that. The right of parents are fulfilled through the service, through helping them, supporting them, looking after them, caring for them. It's not about just sending them money or giving them some wealth. This is not what it's about, their rights. Their rights is that you look after them, you serve them. You go through that time in their lives where they are in need of you and you are saying, I'll send them some money. No, it doesn't work like that.
Abdul Haran, these are the same people that say that we're doing this for our kids. But then when it comes to actually spending time with them, they're clearly not spending time with them. So who are they doing it for? Are they truly doing it for the kids, or was it for the money all along?
It's definitely a way of covering oneself that they are doing for the children. If they really were doing for the children, they'll give them time. Because time is more important than the wealth. And the tarbiyat, the upbringing, the, you know, teaching them little things. And the children are in need of this. And if the parents are not giving them that time, and they are saying, look, we are earning for them, we are providing for them. Providing and earning is not just enough for the children. The children need our time. They need to be educated by us. And then you'll find that, inshallah, these children will grow up learning about life, about religion, about the deen, about how to manage things. Otherwise, if we are not teaching them, who's teaching them? That they are taught in the wrong hands. They are taught in the wrong societies, in the wrong environments. And then they pick up them habits and they adopt them and they live their lives according to them. And then we think that, where did we go wrong? It's actual fact, we need to be giving them time. And alhamdulillah, it doesn't say that we stop earning. Alhamdulillah, you balance your life. We are people who normally say that we should have a balanced life. A life where we are earning, we're giving time to our family. But even the life balance stops there. It's earning and family, money and family. The balanced life doesn't go on to the life of religion.
Mm.
Although that's part of the balanced life as well. But alhamdulillah, our deen is totally way of life. Even earning halal is part of the deen. That's if we were to earn it in the halal way. Right? And we don't even do that either. You know, our earnings have become so unlawful, so many things, so many tricks we are looking for. Everyone's trying to cut the corners. Everyone's trying to earn, make quick money. All this is happening. And then we say that, you know, we are giving time for our children, we are giving time to our family, we are earning for them. It's something which we need to ponder over.
So, going towards the end of the episode, what's one habit or one small thing someone young or people in general can do starting today that can maybe take out this habit of saying, I can't be bothered, get rid of this?
A lot of things, look, we force ourselves into everything in life. We force ourselves to get up and go to work. We force ourselves to complete our studies, get that degree, get it out of the way. Here, it's just a matter of putting yourself into the habit of the deen. And you know, once you get into a flow, it becomes easy. Not that at the start, everything becomes difficult. Reading namaz, stopping for namaz, keep on doing this. But once you're in a flow of it, it's a habit. It becomes norm. It becomes easy. So when we start to do religious, even reciting the Quran at the start, you know, every night if you read Surat Mulk before going to sleep, for example. Even that becomes hard, right? Because it'll take you probably 15 minutes, 20 minutes just to read Surat Mulk, 30 verses. Over time, that 15 minutes goes to 10 minutes, then goes to 7 minutes, then you probably 5 minutes you're able to complete this in, right? And there'll come a time when you'll memorize it without learning it, without learning it by heart. You'll memorize it. You'll know it by heart on the top of your head. So, you know, with time, if one starts to get into habits of religious activities, inshallah, with time, he'll make it easy for himself. And it won't be a burden. It won't be hard. It'll become easy. Actually, then he'll start to encourage others to do it. Look how easy it is. Inshallah, once we get into this format, this habit. And secondly, people who are there to remind you. Right? People who are there to encourage you. You know, like, there's something which encourages us in the gym. What is it? You see the bodies of others. You see the people making muscles, it's encouragement. So here, you need people around you who will encourage you of the deen. Don't give up. It's easy. You know, we can do it. Or look at the passion. Look at the look at the tranquility you get out of it. Look at this reward you get out of it. You need these reminders. Dawat Islami is here for that. So inshallah, when we have these continuous reminders of the deen, we're traveling on the kafilas on a regular basis in the way of Allah, giving 3 days every month. This will get us into the habit. We attend in the weekly gatherings. We're listening to the weekly booklet. Dawat Islami every week is giving one booklet. Alhamdulillah, one book, small book. Alhamdulillah, you can listen to it on audio, so you don't have to read it, but you can read it also. These are just things which make you reflect and remind. Then you have the weekly Madani Muzakara, which the Sheikh Amir al-Sunnah, Hazrat Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Qadri Sahib, Damatul Qatmul Aliyah. On every Saturday, he's live Q&A, right? Question and answer session, alhamdulillah. Basically, answering the questions of the people of the Muslim Ummah. Involve yourself in watching this, inshallah. You'll see that through this, mind will open. This concept of not being bothered, inshallah, will go away.
Jazakallah khairah for our viewers on Madni channel for tuning in as well. This was series Overcoming Life, and inshallah we'll be back with another episode soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Overcoming life. Life hits hard yet faith stands strong. Life hits hard yet faith stands strong. With Allah beside us we move along.